I would just also add one other thing, which is the question of patients' preference for Bev compared to cetuximab. You know, we think of Bev, we worry about life-threatening hemorrhage, and we think of death. We think of cetuximab, we think of rash, it's not so bad. If you're the patient and you haven't died from hemoptysis, you love your bevacizumab. It's well-tolerated, you like getting it, you like the maintenance part of it, and you want to continue it when you're treating with chemotherapy. So I think the patients have a lot of input into this decision-making and kind of influence what we do a lot in terms of the decision to continue.
I agree. I have a patient I'm treating now, and the same thing. I started him with Bev-based chemotherapy up front. He progressed after a year, and I started him on erlotinib with the Bev, and then he started having renal issues where his protein started creeping up. So he got up to 2,200 and we stopped. And then he got down to 1,800 after several months. And he emails me back and says, can I start now?
Right.
I said, no, wait.
Yeah, proteinuria doesn't hurt.
Right.
You know?
We see that a lot with the antibodies. I mean, you think about it, you know, rituximab and trastuzumab in terms of quality of life. Once these people start getting the treatment without the chemo and they realize they feel, you know, pretty good.
Well, that's the amazing thing about bevacizumab. All the small molecule VEGF TKIs, the fatigue is horrendous.
Yeah.
But bevacizumab is the one VEGF inhibitor that doesn't make unbelievable fatigue. I don't know why.
In some patients, I agree, you know, once they get on the bevacizumab alone, they seem to tolerate it very well. I've been asked by several patients, how long should I stay on it and how much is staying on it really helping me? And do I have to come every 3 weeks and get it?